Church Disciples of Christ Monday Manna Bible Study. We're here and we are ready to receive you.
We trust that you're having a great day today and that you are moving rapidly into February as it's moving rapidly in front of us. And so we praise God for this, the day that he's made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. And so we yet give him praise. We're certainly grateful for each of you who are joining us tonight. We want you to let us know that you're getting a clear signal tonight and that the picture is coming through. Lady Kim is getting ready to share with us some exciting information as it relates to this sixth chapter as we continue to make our way through Leviticus. And I tell you, Leviticus is really dealing with a lot of process and protocol and kind of setting the example for what the nation of Israel is to anticipate and to expect. And so we'll find that there are still some more offerings that need to be established and some more models that need to be set up in terms of what will happen after this. Would you agree with me on that, Lady Kim?
Yes.
And so we praise God for each of you. We hope that, what day is it? It's the fifth day of February. And we hope and pray that you are moving forward into February and that you're pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started. I think there are about 30 verses here in this sixth chapter. Excuse me. And we want to see if we can't cover those 30 verses tonight. We'll see a lot of things that we've already kind of talked about that will come up again, that's reoccurring in terms of setting the model and setting the example for the children of Israel. So let's go to God in prayer as we prepare for tonight. God, we're extremely grateful for your presence. We thank you for your peace and your power and your protection. We're certainly thankful for how you continue to bless us even in spite of ourselves. We thank you for an opportunity to gather on a Monday night to study your word.
Yes, God.
For your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Somebody needs to have their pathway illuminated. And so, God, we pray that your word will do just what you said it would do. We already know that it's not going to return to you void. So we stand on the power and the promise of your word. And we pray, the Lord, that we might receive what we are anticipating tonight and that our faith might increase as a result of spending this time together. We're grateful for each person who continue to support this Monday Manna Bible study. And we ask that you might continue to bless us as only you can. You've already done marvelous things for us. And so we're so glad for that. But we know that there's much more in store. And so we yet give you praise even now. So God, have your way. Bless, heal, deliver, and set free. In Jesus' name we pray, and those who love God said, amen.
Amen.
All right. Give God a couple of thumbs up there. Let us know that you are getting a clear signal and that you are following with us tonight. Good to see my good brother and friend out in Los Angeles, Dr. John Tosto, on the call tonight. I can't see you, but I see you logged in, but it's certainly grateful that you are part of this study tonight. Well, Lady Kim, before we get into this sixth chapter, we're in the sixth chapter of Leviticus. Those of you who are joining, did your notes hold up for you on yesterday as we closed out that part two of our sermon on Sunday?
Half of them did and half of them didn't.
Okay, we probably need to see how we can get that situated where you can get your notes to stay in one place at one time.
Well, if I pause too long and my phone shuts off, mm-hmm. then when I open it back up, then I've
lost. Sometimes they lose. Your notes.
Yeah, and I had saved in between time, mm-hmm. and then I was doing something and my phone shut down. And when I went back, the additional notes didn't save. So I got some notes.
Okay.
So it's not all lost.
You said a mouthful there because, you know, that can be relevant to us even today when we pause sometimes in the midst of what we are doing in terms of trying to stay consistent in the things of God, it gives the enemy opportunity to step in and cause distraction and confusion. And many times we have to go back and start over because we have become distracted or some things have gotten in the way to hinder us from the momentum that we've already set in place.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that's what happened to you, but I'm saying in life, that's what happens sometimes. Just like with this fast we just finished, many times we can finish our fast. We can have a break, what they call breakfast, you know, break fast.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go back and doing the same things that we used to do. But there should be a consistent level of commitment and consecration even after the fast. And we don't need to just jump right back into what we were doing before the fast, because the enemy will use that in many cases to try and pull us way back, all the way back into what we were doing before.
Amen.
Would you agree with me on
yes,
that?
Yes, that's a great illustration.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. you set that up with your notes, and so I was just thinking as the Lord was ministering to me during that particular statement that mm-hmm. you made.
Okay.
All
cool.
right.
Cool. Well, yesterday, again, you had a part two
mm-hmm.
to your sermon that you preached the Sunday previous, A God of Much More,
mm-hmm.
and the particular scripture came from Romans, the 5th chapter and the first 11 verses, but you only dealt with the first few verses, you
mm-hmm.
know, where it says that we've been justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God.
Okay.
And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And I think that's where you stopped.
Yeah. What is that, verse 4?
Verse number 4, yes.
Right.
So, but I like what verse number 5 says also, that hope does not disappoint,
mm-hmm.
because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us.
Okay.
So hope doesn't disappoint.
That's
us.
Right. That's right.
Amen. The Holy Spirit continues to, and when I read that little thing where the lady said, Holy Spirit, activate,
uh-huh.
came into
right,
my
right.
mind.
Okay.
You know, we
okay.
can always activate or call on the Holy Spirit to be activated in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But you had several points, you know, that, you know, we serve a God of much more.
That's right.
And that we must protect our praise. We must protect our purpose. We must protect our
possessions.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And when I was thinking what you just said a few minutes ago, we have to protect our perseverance, because
right.
we can get off track.
That's good.
So, you know, the possessions that we need to protect are basically our spiritual possessions.
Okay.
Because the enemy, you know, he's not worried about those worldly possessions.
No,
we can
no.
always get some worldly stuff back if we lose our physical possessions. If the man comes and repossess our car, we can get back on our feet enough to get another car.
Okay.
But when the enemy attacks our spiritual possessions,
that's good.
That gets our life all off kilter. If he comes to rob us of our joy and our
mm-hmm.
peace
right,
and our
right.
our happiness and our focus and our consistency, then we kind of messed up.
Okay.
So we have to protect our possessions, our spiritual possessions. We have to protect our peace. The peace in which God has given us that surpasseth all understanding. Let's see, what else did I have? And that we're overcomers because we have Jesus. And because we have Jesus, we have abundant life. Amen. And life more abundantly. Isn't that right, Dr. Thompson? Amen.
You dropped that in life. As you were listening yesterday, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And we have been justified by faith. God has forgiven me of what the world is trying to hold against me.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
and a lot of times God has forgiven us, but we have difficulty forgiving ourselves.
Mm.
That's why we keep reliving the sins of our past.
That's good.
Being
That's
good. Drawn back into the sins of the past, because we haven't forgiven ourselves.
Okay.
But once we ask for God's forgiveness, God throws it in the sea of forgetfulness. You
mm-hmm.
know, he remembers that sin no more. It is us that goes back and brings that thing up time and time again. And that's a tactic of the enemy
mm-hmm.
to draw us back in to the sins of our past. So we have been justified, we have been forgiven, and we don't need to let the world hold that against us. God looks beyond our faults, and we always know, say, he gets right to our needs.
That's right. That's
and we
right.
have peace with God if we're right with God.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, if we've made our profession, if we've made our confession, then we should have peace with God.
Okay.
And when we have peace with God, we can have peace with our fellow man, but most of all, we can have peace with ourselves.
Okay.
And peace means prosperity with God, a peace that moves us forward in our relationship with God. So we ought to always be moving forward, making strides in the Word. And the only reason why we don't advance or make strides is because we choose to stay stagnant. We choose to remain where we are. So our prayers move beyond the ceiling because we have peace with God. Our prayers, when we mean move beyond the ceiling, it means sometimes we feel like our prayers are not reaching heaven.
Right.
We seem like we're saying those same old stale prayers. But when we have peace with God, we have a different prayer perspective. And so it can move farther than what we think. And we trust God, and we trust God because we have peace with him.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So that's all I put down on yesterday. I had
rich.
A lot more, but
did you?
I saved that and then was mm-hmm. typing more and then went back and it was gone. Mm-hmm. So,
no, that's rich because when we have peace with God, as you had already indicated, it's about prosperity with God. And it's important for us to understand that that peace gives us access to the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us need grace in order to move forward. And we have to be sustained by the grace of God, because in and of ourselves, we can't accomplish very much. But we know that with God, we can do all things through the very Christ that strengthens us. And so a powerful reminder about many times people feel as if they're in hopeless situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Sunday school lesson kind of lended itself toward that as well, getting us to understand that we have hope with God.
Mm-hmm.
And we can rest assured that even when it looks like things are not going to materialize based upon what we see in the natural, we ought not give up or grow weary, because God is doing something in the spirit realm, and we have to wait on God to do what he said he would do. And many times he's trying to get something done in us so that we can be ready to carry the blessing or carry what he has in store for us.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Any comments, anything that you need to add?
Well, Dr. Butler says when we know God, we have a conversation, not a and not repeating the same prayers.
Okay.
That's good. I like that.
That's real good.
You know, when you talk to a person, you don't usually, well, sometimes you do, you don't usually repeat the same thing
mm-hmm.
over and over again, unless you're trying to get them to have a different answer.
Okay.
But yes, you start a conversation. You don't repeat the same thing over and over and over again every time you talk to that person.
It's relationship.
That's a good thought. Yes, mm-hmm. it's relational.
Okay. Right. And I think the whole weekend was extraordinary in the life of the church. Of course, we had baptism on Sunday and new members orientation, as well as our leadership meeting. And we had our ministers meeting. And we have been meeting with the new members for an orientation separate from our regular monthly meeting on Thursday nights. And so I think it's been beneficial to help them get some of the nuts and bolts of understanding process and protocol and how to flow in the culture of ATOP. And then I was so excited to see our new members and how they were engaged and how they were making commitments even during our time that we shared together during our leadership meeting. So that's like a 3-in-1 for us, where we get an opportunity for them to engage with the leaders, them to see some of the things that's happening in the life of the church, and you leading us through the calendar of events and things that we can look forward to. It's almost like a spiritual huddle that we have. And so we do that once a month in order to be prepared for what God yet is trying to get done. And we're believing that this is going to be a year of more. It's going to be big, that great things are yet in store. And so we have to position ourselves in such a way so that we are ready to receive the blessing when God gives it to us.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. All right. Well, we're in the sixth chapter, unless you have something else, Lady Kim, regards to this past weekend. We're in the sixth chapter of Leviticus. And Lady Kim, as we were saying earlier, this is kind of a shift that's taking place, but it's also going back and reaffirming some of the things that have already taken place in the first five chapters. We see that process and protocol and offerings are being established in terms of the do's and the don'ts, what is expected of God and what is expected of the people. And in this particular chapter, we're going to deal a little bit with if a soul sins and commit a trespass. Mm-hmm. And then it'll talk a little bit about how that sin, in the case of, you know, damage to another's property by fault of violence. But in this case, it's in which the sin becomes known through confession. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be interesting how that unfolds. But it's also, we'll see here, a shift that is taking place, even though we have been discussing prior to this, the offerings mm-hmm. and the selection that we, in the section that we have viewed thus far. And it's dealing primarily with the offerings for the worshipers. Mm-hmm. But this time we're going to see a shift in how God wants the priest to be able to exercise protocol and the ritual of sacrifice. And mm-hmm. he specifically deals with Aaron and his sons and the proper exercise of their offering during this particular time.
Amen.
Yeah. And so that's just kind of a little recap, because there are going to be some directions for the burnt offering and the meat offering mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the law and the sin offering that's going to come out mm-hmm. of this particular chapter here tonight.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I have a little breakdown of the chapter.
Okay.
So verses, we're in chapter 6 of Leviticus, verses 1 through 7. That's continued instruction for the guilt offering.
Mm-hmm.
And verses 8 through 13 will be instructions for the burnt offering. Verses 14 through 18 will be instructions for the grain offerings.
Okay.
Verses 19 through 23 are offerings on the Day of Atoning. And verses 24 through 30 are instructions for the sin offering.
Okay.
And
okay.
so that's how it's kind of broken down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we also will see here, Lady Kim, and I know you're getting ready to read this. How are you going to try to break that out? You're going to read the first eight verses, first seven verses to start out.
Yes, verse 1 through 7.
Okay. One of the things here, as you're preparing to read, this is also going to help reemphasize the fact how God wants Israel to be an example
mm-hmm.
and how he's establishing, first of all, the leadership and mm-hmm. the priests, so that they might set the tone and the tenor for what is to be expected. And then it would be much easier once they have adopted what God has set in place for the nation to follow suit. And so it is even in the church and even in our own lives, the leadership has to be the ones who set the tone and the tenor for the congregation. And if the leaders have not fully vested themselves in what God requires of them, it's very difficult for the congregations or the congregants to see the thing that we're trying to put forward in terms of vision and mission and understanding consecration and dedication to the Lord.
Amen.
So we'll see a lot of that coming out here tonight. And I think we made an example saying that I believe it's Bishop T. Garrett Benjamin, where you can't teach what you don't know mm-hmm. and you can't lead where you won't go. And so we have, as leaders, this is for the leaders tonight, as leaders, we have to make sure that we model the example that we expect the congregation to follow.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
That's good.
Did the Lord speak to you any of that when I was talking? No?
No.
Okay. All right. You sure? All right. Well, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Let's read. Like the, who's that on there? Read.
Leviticus, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse. The Lord said to Moses, if anyone sins and is unfaithful to the Lord by deceiving a neighbor about something entrusted to them or left in their care, or about something stolen, or if they cheat their neighbor, or if they find lost property and lie about it, or if they swear falsely about any such sin that people may commit. I'm sorry, it flipped off. That people may commit when they sin in any of these ways and realize their guilt. They must return what they have stolen or taken by exhortation. They must return what they have stolen or taken by extortion, or what was entrusted to them, or the lost property they found, or whatever it was they swore falsely about. They must make restitution in full, add a fifth of the value to it, and give it to the owner on the day that they present their guilt offering.
Okay.
And as a penalty, they must bring to the priest, that is to the Lord, their guilt offering, a ram from the flock, one without defect and of the proper value. In this way, the priest will make atonement for them before the Lord, and they will be forgiven for any of the things they did that made them guilty.
Okay. That's verses 1 through 7.
Yes.
And as we indicated earlier, and you already made mention of it, in this case, it's a sin that becomes known through a confession. Mm-hmm. And so they have a responsibility when it becomes obvious to do something to present themselves in such a way for atonement. And I think you used, what was the word you used for?
This is the guilt. The guilt offering. Yes. Yeah. And I was reading the NIV version. Someone asked what version I was reading.
Okay.
Yes, NIV.
Okay. And so this is setting in motion how to deal with those sins that are committed. And I think part of it has to do with those that are not known, the sins that are not known. And it has to do with also when there's damage, a case of damage of property by fraud or by violence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're feeling guilty about something that you've done against your neighbor,
right,
you know, then you have to make restitution for that.
That's right.
When you come into the knowledge of it. And then it said you had to add a fifth to it. So I'm wondering, how do you add a fifth of a ram or a fifth of a goat? Yeah. I don't get it, but you know what? I'm so glad we don't have to do that now. So I don't have to figure it out. But interesting.
They were strategic, if you will, in making sure, because a lot of what they had set in motion is still in motion today, you know. And I don't know how they were able to come up with a fifth either, but I know that they were very particular and precise about what God required of them, and they had to follow suit in terms of their presentation.
Right. Amen.
Okay. All right. So in these next few verses, where are you going to go from 8 through 13?
8 to 13. These are instructions for the burnt offering. You know, it talks about it's going to talk about the fire and the bronze altar, how it was never to go out. It was to burn continually. The animals offered as burnt offerings, they were to be left on the altar all night, and the ashes were to be taken outside of the camp of Israel and placed in a clean place.
Okay, all right.
So that's going to be 8 through 13.
Okay.
So the Lord said to Moses, give Aaron and his sons this commandment. These are the regulations for the burnt offering. The burnt offering is to remain on the altar hearth throughout the night till morning, and the fire must be kept burning on the altar. The priest shall then put on his linen clothes with linen undergarments next to his body, and shall remove the ashes of the burnt offering that the fire has consumed on the altar, and place them beside the altar. Then he is to take off these clothes and put on others, and carry the ashes outside the camp to a place that is ceremonially clean. The fire on the altar must be kept burning. It must not go out. Every morning, the priest should add firewood and arrange the burnt offering on the fire and burn the fat of the fellowship offering on it. The fire must be kept burning on the altar continuously. It must not go out.
So part of what kind of leaped off the page for me in that, while you were reading, that the priests had to have on proper attire in terms of their presentation. And then there was, of course, the process that was set in motion for how they should go about presenting, what was this, the burnt offering?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, but there were some very important details, and details do make the difference. Would you agree with me on that?
Absolutely.
And many times we kind of get past, you know, the details of what God requires of us and not fulfilling the details of the matter, and we just kind of loosely do some things. But God wants things to be done decent and in order. And so we cannot neglect the fact that God is a God of order, and he wants us to follow process and follow suit.
Amen.
In terms of our presentation to him, even in terms of our dress, when it comes to presenting that which he requires of us in our service. Because I think you said that they had to put on linen.
Yes, linen underclothes and linen clothing.
So I don't see why he would mention that if it was not important, you know. And so not to try to go down a rabbit hole with that, but that's strategic in terms of how you present yourself and how you dress and how you offer to God what he requires of you, so that you are a reflection of what God wants for the people to see and to do during that particular time. Okay.
Dr. Pauli said that's why we don't play in our church clubs.
I know. That took us way back.
I know when I was growing
it?
Up. Yes, Lord.
And take them shoes off and take them clothes off.
Yeah. I only had I had a pair of black patent leather church shoes.
Did you?
And my mama better not catch me outside playing in those church shoes.
They would match up with everything you were wearing, though, right?
Absolutely. Black patent leather.
Yeah.
And we would rub Vaseline on them and smear it on with a little rag on Saturday night to get them shining. We wipe them off first with a damp cloth and make sure they were clean. Then we rub a little Vaseline on them.
Did y'all have to lay your clothes out Saturday night?
Lay our clothes out Saturday night for church Sunday morning. Wasn't too hard to figure out, though. I didn't have no big wardrobe back then.
So one or two outfits you changed, and they were interchangeable, right?
Yeah, right. Well, I had a few more than that.
Yeah. Well, so. See, you kind of, I think that was part of what, a lot of times we do things subconsciously, because now you got two or three closets and the bars are breaking in the middle. And so you kind of making up for lost time in the
Lord.
Real sense.
Okay, stay in your life.
All right, all right.
Ain't nobody tell you to go there.
All right. You said, you opened that door, though, talking about you just had a couple of outfits.
All right, we're not going to talk about them ties in that end.
No. We ain't talking about you right
now. Your bars breaking down in the middle.
What?
Oh, that's right. Your bars don't sag in the middle because you got five closets
to
close.
Ooh.
Count them.
Let's go. Move. Stick and move. All right. Where are we? We're in verse 14.
Yes.
And so this is going to be direction for the grain offering.
Yes.
I think that's what you
indicated. Yes, the grain offering. And, you know, a handful of flour offered as a grain offering.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to talk about, you know, how this grain offering was to be burnt on the bronze altar. And the remaining flour was to be kept by the priest. And the flour was to be baked in the bread, but it was not to be leavened. Aaron and his sons, the priests, were to eat the bread in the court of the tabernacle. So that's what these four verses are about. The sixth chapter, verses 14 through 18.
Okay.
And they read, these are the regulations for the grain offering. Aaron's sons are to bring it before the Lord in front of the altar.
Okay.
The priest is to take a handful of the finest flour and some olive oil, together with the ends incense of the grain offering and burn the memorial portion and burn a memorial portion on the altar as an aroma pleasing to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron and his sons shall eat the rest of it, but it is to be eaten without yeast in the sanctuary area. They are to eat it in the courtyard of the tent of meetings. It must not be baked with yeast. I have given it as their share of the food offering presented to me, like the sin offering and the guilt offering. It is most holy. Any male descendant of Aaron may eat it. For all generations to come, it is his perpetual share of the food offering presented to the Lord. Whatever touches them will become holy.
Okay. So specific directions and instructions here for the grain offering. And this was not something that was presented to the people, but it was placed on the altar as an aroma. Yeah, I believe that's what you read. And then the remains were to be given to Aaron and his sons.
Yes.
And they would eat the remains of what was left.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
And they had to eat it in a certain place.
Okay.
In the court of the tabernacle.
Okay. And so some more specifics here. But this is part of what we had, I think, discussed back in the second chapter, where we see that reoccurring in terms of how they are to handle the particular offerings that are presented. And so now they are moving from, as I indicated earlier, how the congregation is to respond, other people, and giving more specifics in terms of how Aaron and the priest are to respond in their presentation, as well as what God requires of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. So verses 19 through 23, and we're moving rapidly through.
Uh-huh.
19 through 23. This talking about the offerings on the Day of Atonement.
Okay.
And the offerings on the Day of Atonement, you know, when Aaron was anointed high priest, the priests were to offer a tenth of an ephah of fine flour as a grain offering, half in the morning and half in the evening. The flour was to be mixed with oil and cooked on a griddle. All of the bread was to be burned on this altar. This particular offering was to be made by the son of Aaron, who was selected to succeed him as the high priest.
Mm-hmm. So this is really kind of a perpetual meal that is being offered.
Yes.
And then it is not to be eaten? Is that, did it say that?
No, it was to be burned on the altar. The offering, it didn't say it wasn't to be eaten. No,
mm-hmm.
Let's see. Let's read 19 through 23. Those were just the notes that taken. But
okay.
Let's read 19 through 23 and see what it says. The right. Lord also said to Moses, "This is the offering Aaron and his sons are to bring to the Lord on the day he is anointed.
Mm-hmm.
A tenth of an ephah of the finest flour as a regular grain offering. Half of it in the morning and half of it in the evening. It must be prepared with oil on a griddle. Bring it well mixed and present the grain offering broken in pieces as an aroma pleasing to the Lord. The son who succeeds him as anointed priest shall prepare it. It is the Lord's perpetual share and is to be burned completely. Every grain offering of the priest shall be burned completely. It must not be eaten."
Mm-hmm.
So no, right, it wasn't eaten. It was all burned.
So that's where that whole shift is coming in, where they're being more specific about how Aaron and his sons are to make presentations. And this offering is a perpetual offering that before the people, and it was not an offering that they would partake of or after it had gone out, but it was going to be burning perpetually so that the people would get a sense of the sacrifice that was being made during this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was to be burned all the way up, in other words, before they actually moved to what else was required of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So that was through 23.
Yes.
Do we see, do we have any comments or any questions there?
None right now.
Okay. All right. Well, there are only 30 verses here, Lady Kim. The next section, I think you start at 24 and then
goes through 30.
Mm-hmm. And then this portion deals with the law of the sin offering and the sin offering that was discussed previously in chapter 5 and 4. And mm-hmm. we'll see that being repeated again.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
And so there were instructions for the sin offering.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's a question there.
What kind of offering was 19 through 23? Mm-hmm. That was the offering of the Day of Atoning. So I guess that was the atoning, and it was a special offering for the high priest, or for the priests that were made by Aaron's sons, the one who was selected to succeed Aaron mm-hmm. as the priest,
okay.
as the high priest.
So it was sort of kind of like a meal offering in a sense, but it was not to be eaten, because I think the last few verses said it was not to be eaten. So it probably was a form of a meal offering that they were presenting, but it was for the aroma and the scent to go up to God and for it to burn perpetually. And for it is not to be eaten would be clear indication that it was the kind of offering that could have been consumed had that was the case.
Mm-hmm. So the significance of that was that the one who was to succeed Aaron was mm-hmm. the one that was to prepare that offering.
Okay.
So that reminds me that some training took place too.
Okay.
Some mentoring, because Aaron had to teach them how to prepare that offering.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
That person would have to prepare for his next, for the successor coming after him.
Right.
So that they would have to know what to do.
So they were setting in motion, Lady Kim, the examples for Israel, and it started with the leadership, as we indicated earlier, and how important for them to catch the vision and understand what God required. And it would, if the leadership has not bought into or have not committed themselves, it's very difficult for the people to make that kind of commitment. I mean, it's not just for one or two people. Mm-hmm. It's for everybody in that confesses or professes a calling and want to be in a leadership role. We cannot be slack in our commitment nor our dedication to the things of God, because we are examples that people see in terms of what God requires of us. And if they don't see it in us, then they feel that it's not that important in terms of them trying to do the same or go in that same direction.
Amen.
And I know you had shared a story about Sister Odessa Turner this past week in terms of how she deposited some wise words in your spirit, even when we were relatively young in ministry. And Odessa Turner, she probably was in her 90s then.
Mm-hmm.
But she was there in attendance, same seat, gathering up information, pouring it out. And she was a person that you could go to that would speak exactly what God,
wisdom
mm-hmm. would have her to say.
Godly wisdom.
And I tell you, it's a blessing when you see people who model what God wants the congregation to see.
Mm-hmm.
She's a prayerful woman, and she was always in her seat and always supportive, always prayerful. And little did we know, you know, then that the time would come where we would have to take on even a more strategic role in terms of leading people by example.
Amen.
Yeah.
And who knew that her words would forever ring in our hearts and in our memory?
That's right.
You know, so you never know what seeds you're planting when you tell people things.
That's right.
You know, it might be a strategic time in their life.
Mm-hmm.
They may not accept it then, but later on it will become valuable to them, just like seed sown in fertile soil. We will always remember Sister Odessa and the wise and the wisdom that she imparted to us on many occasions.
Yeah, yeah. You remember what she told you?
Absolutely. She told me several things.
I'm talking about the one that you made example of this past weekend.
She said, don't ask people to do nothing you ain't willing to do yourself.
That's right. Now, that's deep down in the bucket of wisdom right there.
Right.
And,
so in other words, as a leader,
right,
you don't ask people to do things that you're not willing to do.
That's right.
You don't tell people to go clean up the parking lot if you're not willing to go clean up the parking lot. You don't ask people to go feed the hungry if you're not willing to go out and feed the hungry.
Isn't that something?
You don't ask people to go to the nursing home if you're not willing to go to the nursing home.
All right, Reverend.
So, I feel there are a lot of things. So silly. There are a lot of things that she imparted to me in particular, that I will carry with me.
Yeah.
Words of godly wisdom.
Yeah. And I remember when we would go, and when she would not make it, we would go by and have prayer with her and sit with her and take something to eat. You know, it's just amazing how all of that comes back around full circle.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the things that you find yourself doing is not something that's taught, but it's something, how does it say it?
Caught.
Uh-huh. So we have to be mindful of keeping our spiritual antennas up, mm-hmm. because a lot of what you're going to gain in terms of wisdom and guidance might not necessarily come out of a textbook.
Amen.
But it will come out of the reservoir of a person that has been fully immersed in the things of God, and they're pouring that back out to you.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
And it might not be scripture,
mm-hmm.
but it's wisdom.
Right.
You know, and it's funny how what Sister Turner said closely aligns with Dr. Benjamin said.
Mm-hmm.
When Dr. Mm-hmm. Benjamin says, when Miss Odessa says, you know, don't ask people to do something you ain't willing to do yourself, it simply means you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you won't go.
My.
So those things tie in together.
Somebody type
godly
that in.
Godly wisdom.
Yeah, you can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you're not willing to go.
Yes.
Yes, that's powerful.
We just have a few more verses
here.
Verses 24 through 30, and that's instruction for the sin offering.
Okay.
And so when an animal was killed for a sin offering, the priest who offered it would eat some of the meat.
Mm-hmm.
If the meat was boiled in an earthenware vessel, the vessel was to be broken afterwards. If the meat was cooked in a bronze vessel, the vessel was to be scoured and rinsed. The meat was to be eaten in the court of the tabernacle. If any of the animal's blood got on the priest's clothing, the garment was to be washed in a holy place.
Okay.
So let's look at verse 24, starting at verse 24 in the sixth chapter of Leviticus. And we'll read to the end of the chapter, which will be verse 30. The Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron and his sons, these are the regulations for the sin offering.
Mm-hmm.
The sin offering is to be slaughtered before the Lord in the place the burnt offering is slaughtered. It is most holy. The priest who offers it shall eat it. It is to be eaten in the sanctuary area, in the courtyard of the tent of meeting. Whatever touches any of the flesh will become holy. And if any of the blood is splattered on a garment, you must wash it in the sanctuary area. The clay pot the meat is cooked in must be broken. But if it is cooked in a bronze pot, the pot is to be scoured and rinsed with water. Any male in a priest's family may eat it. It is most holy. But any sin offering whose blood is brought into the tent of meeting to make atonement in the holy place must not be eaten. It must be burned up."
Hmm. So another example, and I think this has already been discussed earlier about the sin offering, but it's another reminder. And as we see a shift taking place here and being more specific in terms of what Aaron and the priest were to do in terms of their offering and presentation, and the example that was set before the people, and understanding process and protocol. And I keep seeing that jump off the page here as we read through this sixth chapter. And so it's important that we set standards, we set a bar. You know, we don't just haphazardly do things that God requires of us, but that we have to be intentional in terms of our presentation and following the example that he would have us to follow.
Amen.
I think I see our nephew on, Brother Anthony. It's good to see him on tonight. And so we praise God for that. And all of you who are on, are there any comments? I think Sister Michelle was commenting on where you were talking about Sister Odessa.
Yes, mm-hmm. And remembering. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It'll come back, you know, some of the things that our parents and some of those who were godly examples in our lives, you know, even when we were loose and fancy free in the world and they were regular speaking and pouring into us. Now that we have settled and matured and we hear a lot of and we see a lot of things coming back to us after we have gone through some experiences in our own lives, you know. Because a constant in all of that, Lady Kim, is God is in control.
Yes, he is.
God is all wise and all knowing.
Well,
God sets the tone for our behavior, and our behavior should match our belief.
Amen.
And so many times when we don't follow the script, so to speak, and get off track, you know, then we lose sight of the things that God requires of us. And many times God has to settle us and put us in a situation where we can't do nothing but hear what he has to say and follow his guidelines for the betterment of our situations.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Okay. So any other comments there? Any other thoughts?
Well, just, you know, to kind of tie a bow around this whole sixth chapter. And again, you know, it's talking about the different sacrifices, and since the inception, since we, the beginning of Leviticus, the first chapter until the sixth chapter, we've been talking about the different sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, there were two different sets of sacrifice. There were sacrifices to tell God thank you, and then there were sacrifices to tell God I'm sorry.
Okay.
And so we've talked about, you know, many, many types of sacrifices.
Mm-hmm.
Just to give you a quick rundown, you know, Leviticus chapters 1 through 6 talked about food offerings.
Okay.
The Leviticus 1 talked about burnt offerings. Leviticus 2 talked about the grain offerings. The offerings of first fruit and types of grain offerings were in Leviticus 2 also. And then the peace offerings, Leviticus 3, the sin offerings, Leviticus 4 and 5, and the guilt offerings in Leviticus 5 and 6.
Okay.
So we've looked at all those different types of offerings mm-hmm. to the Lord over the past several weeks. But for our lesson tonight, just something to let us hold a few handles to hold on to and make it relevant for us today is that God required the Israelites to pay restitution when they wronged another person. Plus, they had to pay 20%. Why? God wants us to make every effort possible to restore peace with another person.
Mm-hmm.
Apologizing is necessary, but sometimes it's not enough. You mm-hmm. have to even go further.
Okay.
So, that's, I think, what this lesson kind of sums up for
mm-hmm,
us.
Mm-hmm. And that whole piece about setting the example is key as well, and how Israel was to be an example, and how God had set in place a process that happened so that it would start with the leadership. And so it was very easy for that to catch on in terms of those who were to follow. And Israel as a nation saw that the leadership was intact. And so they were willing to go forth and be responsible in terms of what God required of them.
Amen. And Dr. Tunstall had an interesting comment. He said, a lot of offering for a rebellious people. Amen.
That's right. So we do know that they did not continue to be consistent in the things of God, and some went astray, and all have sinned, right, and fallen short. But that does not erase the fact that God has already set a pattern in place for us to follow. And so sometimes people, when they get off track, they see that they try to question, why did God move, or where did God move to? But you don't have to worry about that, because God never moves. Amen. It's us who makes the move.
That's right.
And so we have to circle back around, mm-hmm. and make sure that we align ourselves with what God has already required of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
And by moving, we mean that sin distances us from God. Is that a word? Sin distances us from God. I guess that's what I was trying to say. So God never moves. He's always there.
Yep.
He's always there waiting for us to return to him. So never let sin put a wedge or miles between you and God. Always come back by asking forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
and making restitution. And so one way you can make restitution, once you ask for God's forgiveness, your restitution is a life of, can't think of the word I want to say right now, but don't do it no more.
Okay.
That's the best way to make life restitution.
Sacrifice.
Yeah. Yes, a life of a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. holy mm-hmm. and acceptable, yeah. pleasing unto God.
Absolutely.
And it says that's our reasonable service.
Because mm-hmm. part of what happens when we don't go the full circle in terms of doing what we say we're going to do, once we're in the midst of a thing and we come out of it, then sometimes we fall back. Mm-hmm. And I think Dr. Thompson was talking about the rebellion of the people. And it's even evident today, you know, but God, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't move. He doesn't make a mistake. He's wise and all-knowing, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. And so he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so it's important for us to make sure that once we understand the cost or the sacrifice or the penalty of what we have done,
mm-hmm.
we have an opportunity to ask God to forgive us and make us whole in terms of putting us back in proper standing with him.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah.
Sister Bernice said that sin, I think she meant to say, stinks in his nostrils.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's
it's,
right.
It's God, it's pugnant, you know, it's rebel, it's a repelling smell
mm-hmm.
To God,
right.
Our sinfulness.
Right.
But aren't you glad we don't have to burn sacrifices?
Absolutely.
Offer sacrifices. Take sacrifices to the priest to sacrifice to God on our behalf, because Jesus became the ultimate sacrifice.
That's right.
He gave his life, so we don't have to take pigeons and doves and bulls and goats and rams,
mm-hmm.
Or flour or meal before a priest, before mm-hmm. a high priest. We can go before Jesus ourselves and ask for forgiveness, because he became our propitiation for our sins, our replacement for those sacrifices
okay.
on the altar.
Okay, that's good. That's good, Lady Kim. So once we come into the knowledge, then we have responsibility. Wouldn't you agree with
Absolutely.
Me on that? To walk in what we have learned and the things that God has instructed us. And even back to Dr. John Tunstall's comment about a rebellious people, it really signifies the grace of God, because God continues to extend himself beyond our faults and our failures. And he gives us another opportunity. And many times people want to wager and kind of carry that to the extent where they think that they can get by with another offense against God. But once God extends us the grace to come in, then we ought not wait until we get to a place where it's almost too late for us, you know, to get right with God.
Right.
So the message there is, even though they are rebellious people even today, God's grace is still made available to us to come in and to repent and to confess and to get right with him before it's too late. Because, you know, we don't know when the time is going to come when God is going to call. We don't know when our life is going to end. No man knoweth the hour or the time, but we have to make sure that we are prepared to meet Jesus when he comes back.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So we have to live a life of holiness, and we have to live a life that's pleasing to God. We have to make sure that we align our will with his. And many times sometimes it takes longer for others to get that, and others catch it early on. But we have to make sure that when God places conviction in our hearts, and when we understand that we have an opportunity to be forgiven, then we need to extend ourselves so that God will shower us with his grace and with his mercy.
Amen.
You have a couple of comments there.
Yes, Dr. Tunstall had a significant statement that sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than
you want to pay.
More than you want to pay.
That's a preach right there, Lord.
Yes.
That's good.
But Dr. Qualley says, we have direct contact. We no longer have to have another to atone for us.
Okay.
Amen. And Sister Monique said.
That was Sister Gwen.
Oh, that was Sister Gwen. I'm sorry. Sister Gwen.
Yeah.
Yes. And so Minister Monique was just agreeing with us. Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, this has been a rich study tonight. And on next week, we'll be in the 7th chapter. We will continue with some of the offerings that are being presented, and I think we'll deal with the law of the trespass offering and the law of peace offering as we continue to move through Leviticus. We're certainly grateful for each of you on the call tonight and for your comments and for your responses. Will you share with us any updates or any announcements that we need to be aware of, Lady Kim, as we prepare to close out tonight?
Well, we have many bereavements that we want to lift up on tonight. We'll start with our sick and shut in first. We want to continue to lift up Brother Charles Reynolds in ICU in Baptist East Hospital. We want to continue to lift up Sister Elnora Buchanan. She has been released from the hospital, but she's in a rehab center in Bahia, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So we want to continue to lift her up and continue to lift up our youth director, Minister Travis Griffin Sr., who's still recovering from being in the hospital. Then we have several bereavements that we want to lift up. Sister Pat Reynolds and Brother Charles Reynolds and the loss of Sister Pat's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And that funeral is this coming weekend, this coming Saturday, I believe. And then
it's this Saturday in Clarksdale.
In Clarksdale, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. Then Sister Mary Henderson and the loss of her uncle. That funeral is this weekend also. And then Sister Daphne Robinson lost two aunts.
Mm-hmm.
One aunt was funeralized this past Saturday, and the other funeral is this coming Saturday in Coldwater, Mississippi. Sister Vicki Malone lost her uncle. That funeral, it has not been set yet. Sister Giselle Padilla in the loss of her nephew in Texas. We're waiting for the arrangements for that. And Brother Lou and Porter and his wife, Meloria Porter, they've already had the committal for Sister Meloria. And so we're just praying for strength for that family.
Okay. All right. Well, you mind closing us with a word of prayer tonight as we... And don't forget now, this Sunday, Lady Kim will be bringing the word. And we also have a special group that's going to come this Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
And this is going to be Red Sunday as well as NFL Favorite Jersey Sunday.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Let us.
What did you forget? You were going to be preaching, or you forgot? What part of that you forgot?
The choir. Coming.
Oh, okay.
Kahoma Community
all right.
Choir.
I'm just
coming.
Trying to make sure that. Yes. Just right.
No, I got some red. My jersey going to be red. So I'm going to cover both bases.
You're going to have on your red.
New England Patriots.
Okay.
They're red and blue. Yes, baby. That's it. I have on my red for Heart Month and for my favorite team.
That's your favorite team?
That's my team.
Is it?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
It's not. Well, I mean, I don't have a favorite team.
All right. But I thought I had learned something new tonight.
No, you know I don't.
You were Stanley Morgan.
Yes, I'm a Stanley Morgan fan.
Right.
And so he's no longer playing. He deserves to be in the NFL Hall of Fame. We keep on trying to get him there.
It's going
to
happen. It's going to happen.
Yes, yes. We're speaking it into existence. But, you know, once Stanley was gone, I was through with football. Yeah, but, I'm not really a football fan.
Well, he blessed us with two jerseys, too.
Yes.
And so we're honored to be able to wear those in honor of him and the time that he was a powerful player as well as a person and still is today.
Yes.
In terms of a person. But he was a wide receiver during the time when New England went to the Super Bowl against the Chicago Bears.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And we were able to see that that game played and cheered him on, although they did not win. But Stanley Morgan is a member of our congregation. And so I wear the Morgan jersey, New mm-hmm. England Patriots. And trying to get him to the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Amen.
All right.
All right, let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we love you today. We bless you and we honor you, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We thank you tonight, God. We give you all the glory and honor, O God, because you are God and God alone. You look beyond our faults. You became our sin so that we would not have
to bring...
a sacrifice,
thank
oh
you,
God.
God. Thank
but
you,
God. Did ask us to sacrifice, oh God, by bringing our lives as a
living sacrifice.
So we thank you tonight,
hallelujah, God,
that we present our bodies a living sacrifice to you, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. We lift up tonight all the bereaved that are on our list. Sister Pat and Brother Charles, oh God, Sister Mary
God.
Henderson,
hallelujah.
Sister Daphne Robinson,
glory
Sister
God.
Vicky Malone,
yes,
Sister
God.
Giselle Padilla,
thank you, God.
Brother Lou Porter. We
thank
lift
you,
them
God.
Up to
we
you, God. Comfort
up,
their
comfort,
grieving
God.
Hearts
comfort,
right now, God.
God.
Wipe every tear
every
from their
tear.
Eyes
do
tonight,
it, God.
God, as they mourn the loss of their loved one. And then, oh God, we ask that you would go by and see about Brother Charles Reynolds in that hospital.
Yes, God.
Sister Elnora Buchanan.
Hallelujah.
In that rehab facility. Brother Travis Griffin, who's recovering at home.
Yes, God.
We even call out Anthony Hanley
Anthony
to
Hanley.
You, God.
Thank
he
you,
needs
God.
You, God. He
glory
needs a
God.
Mighty
hallelujah.
Healing in his body,
do
God.
It, God. Do it,
so
God.
We ask, God, in the name of
Jesus,
you would make every provision for him, God, that you would allow him to have the surgery that is much needed on
yes,
his feet.
God.
And then, oh God, he will get in the rehab facility and learn to walk again. God, we ask that you would give him strength in his feet.
Hallelujah.
Strength in his ankles. Strength in his calves.
Do it, God.
Strength in his legs.
Yes, God.
Strength in his thighs.
Yes, God.
God. So that he might begin to walk again, oh God. Oh God, and not only walk, but let him run. And
hallelujah.
When he begins to run, oh God, let him run to the house of the Lord and give you thanks and glory and honor and praise for all that you've done in his life. We pray for his mother, Gloria, tonight, God. Strengthen her, oh God, where she's weak and build her up where she's torn down. We pray for Sandra Murray tonight, God. Strengthen her today, God, in her time of weakness. We pray for Sister Eloise Hatcher tonight, God. Strengthen her tonight and strengthen the family tonight.
Thank you, God.
We love you and
we
thank
you,
God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Now, God, as people travel the highways and byways going to and fro to funerals and services, God, we ask that you would Watch over and protect them and be with them, oh God. And then on Sunday, oh God, we ask that your Holy Spirit be in the place like never before. We thank you for our pastor and the gifts that he brings to the body and every member and every ministry leader and every minister and spiritual officer and every auxiliary member. We thank you for
it. Thank you, God.
And we bless you and honor you for you making provision, God. And we love you, God. We lift up Dr. Tunstall to you, God.
Yes,
touch
God.
Him today, God, whatever he stands in need of. Bless
Glory,
his family
God.
Even
Do it,
the more,
Do it,
God.
God.
In the name of Jesus. And we love you, God. We bless you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank
Hallelujah.
God.
Hallelujah. Glory, God.
Amen. Good All night, right. everybody.
Be blessed.
Love you guys.